Thank you, Dave. Good morning. It is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Makes you want to work, doesn't it? The word service gets a lot of page time in Christianity. Jesus describes himself as a servant and admonishes us to do likewise. Serve, not take, serve. Servant to God, servant to the church, servant to our fellow human beings. Serve. He says serve. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul points out that service to God comes not from us, but from God through Jesus Christ. That it is written in the Spirit rather than ink on paper. So we have to feel the compulsion to serve. In a sense, Paul is saying that we need to be open to where God calls us to serve and listen for what he wants us to do. And there are many opportunities throughout the world to serve God, but there are many, many more chances to serve God, to be of service to Christ right here in the local church. In 2008, the Methodist churches were given permission, perhaps even encouraged, to examine local administrative and committee structures. Now that sounds really boring, doesn't it? And maybe it is, but it's necessary. The reason for these self-examinations, to find if churches could become more efficient, could improve the ease of committee recruitment, and those who are on the nomination committee, raise your hands if you're on the nomination committee. There are some here. No, that's true. It's difficult sometimes to find people to fill those positions. And to offer more opportunities for the membership of the church to serve the mission of the church. The Administrative Council of the Clarkston United Methodist Church has undertaken that self-study, studying the structures and mechanisms used to fill the positions deemed necessary to fulfill the mission of this church. In the process, we had to consider several things. One, what is required by the conference and the Book of Discipline. There are certain rules where they say you have to have certain things. Secondly, we had to look at our structure and say, well, what's working well? And actually, surprisingly, we found a lot of things work pretty well in this church. Thirdly, we had to see what could be tweaked or changed to make it easier to move in and out of certain service positions. And lastly, we had to look at what were the difficulties that were being encountered in recruiting people to fill the positions that we had available, and how do we address what those difficulties are. And after study, the council is proposing some changes, the administrative council. Nothing monumental, and we're not going to say we're going to elect a dictator who's going to tell us what to do, and you will do this thing, and you will do this thing. We're not going to do that. We thought about it. But we're not going to do that. Just some streamlining to make it easier to operate. Now, the Book of Discipline spells out the makeup of the Administrative Council, who has to be on the Administrative Council. First is the Administrative Chair. Secondly, the lay leader. Currently, those are both the same person, so we only have one person serving those two positions. We have to have a secretary, a treasurer, the pastor, and then representatives of the following committees: finance, building and grounds, or trustees, as we call them here. We're thinking buildings and grounds really makes more sense. Now, finance looks at budget and spending. Building and grounds looks at the church, things that need to be fixed and repaired or replaced. The church, the property, and the parsonage. Staff parish relations, people who are, they're responsible for the hired individuals, the pastor, the office manager, musician, child care, people who are actually paid by the church. The worship committee for the ministry that happens inside of the church building itself, including services, special services, decoration, music, all of those are under worship committee, communion, such as that. The outreach is the ministry outside of the church into the community at large. So you can imagine what those things are: visitations, food bank, Salvation Army, and things that we do out in the community. The education committee, children and adult Sunday schools, vacation church school, continuing education, things that deal with learning in the church. So those committees need to be represented on the Administrative Council. It doesn't have to be the chairman necessarily. It can be any representative from any committee. Also, the Nominations Committee, Scholarship Committee, and Memorial Committees that meet only as needed. Sometimes they only have to meet once a year or whenever business comes up for that committee. So you don't really have to have someone there all the time. Also on the board are representatives from the United Methodist Women and the men's group that are not elected by the congregation but are elected by those individual entities. They get their own person to represent them on the council. So we have those people, and most of those are spelled out by the discipline. You have to have those people on there. So the changes we're looking at, first of all, the council membership stays pretty much the same as it was before. We have those same people that I spelled out for you. But the committee structure itself, we found to be overly large and cumbersome and hard to manipulate. Not as flexible as it could be, partly because there were so many people there. If all of the committees were at full strength, as we stand right now, to fill every position would require 81 people on committees. There aren't 81 people here today. So, given the size of our congregation and the availability of membership, some need necessarily to overlap in several committees. So the board is recommending, the first recommendation, it is that the committees, rather than being 9 members, be no more than 5 members. So reduce the number on each individual committee, unless there's a specific reason it has to be more. So reduce to 5 unless there's a reason. Secondly, a few years ago, we initiated a 3-year term for committee membership. Some of you remember before that and when that actually came into being. The reason that we did that, at the time, we felt that 3 years would make people more eager to join because it didn't mean that being on a committee was a lifetime sentence. It had no end, and some people would be on committees for 10, 20 years. So that was the intention at first. Experience has shown us otherwise. Some people don't want to join committees because 3 years seems too long. It becomes a sentence itself. So that's too long of a time for them to have to serve in a particular committee. That doesn't mean some people don't want to stay on, and of course that's still available to them. As the nominations committee tries to recruit, the 3 years seems to make it more difficult. So we're recommending that committee membership be renewed annually. So you serve for 1 year, and then next year you can either choose to renew that or not, up to the person that's doing the service. If you're in a committee, you particularly like what you're doing, there's no reason you can't continue. But if you want to try something else, you could go for a year and then try something else for a year until you find what kind of service you really want to do for the church. We have an eye on trying to open up opportunities, have more opportunities for people to serve, or try different kinds of service, although continuing membership is still an option. And lastly, the third recommendation that we're making is that committees make available ad hoc teams to carry out individual missions for the church, short-term individual missions. Ad hoc committees would be, as I say, short-term, purpose-driven groups that work on a single project and then dissolve when it's finished. So you might be a member of Special Decorations for Easter committee. That would be your service. So when the decorations for Easter are finished and taken down, you're finished. You're not on that committee anymore. And when one comes up for Christmas, you can do that one too. So just make short-term commitments. It could be painting walls or repairs or fundraising events or vacation church school. Those kinds of projects that have short-term goals, those goals are completed. You can dissolve the committee or the team and they could move on to other things. These teams would allow a person to serve in an area of interest, what you want to do, without a long-term commitment. So to summarize, the three changes that are being proposed are fewer committee members. If we reduce the number to a maximum of 5, we're reducing the number. If every position was filled originally, it would be 81. Now if every position is filled, which it often isn't, but if it were, it would only be 45. So we have a difference of recruiting 45 people to fill positions rather than 81 people to fill positions. So advantage are streamline, less cumbersome structure. Fewer members, shorter terms, and ad adding ad hoc teams to fulfill the mission of the church. Those are the three changes. It would be easier to recruit eager servants for God because they're not even having to commit for long, long terms, a year at the most. And I know you'll all be eager when the nominations committee comes around and says, "Do you want to serve?" "Oh, yes, yes, please, can I?" "Let me serve. I want to serve." And there will be more and less burdensome opportunities to serve, and we will be able to fill the charge of being in service to the name of Jesus Christ, who admonishes us that service is the job of the church. Now, the proposed changes will be presented, for discussion at a special all-church meeting next Sunday, right after church, in the fellowship hall, where we'll entertain any questions that you might have. And then the vote, we're going to take a vote, but the vote is not whether to accept it or not. The vote is whether to move it on, present it at the charge conference in November for an official vote. So we're going to answer any questions and then get a vote as to whether to move the proposal on to the charge conference in November. I've already talked to the district superintendent, Dale Cockrum, and he has given me permission to go ahead and present this to the church as we have it. So, God bless you all as you prepare to serve God, to serve the church, and to serve your fellow man. And in that spirit, remain seated and help me sing, and I need a lot of help. "Take my life and let it be," and think, "Take my life, Lord, and show me how to serve." Amen.